Here comes Ryan.
Okay. Ryan. How you doing, buddy?
Nothing like 30 centimeters of snow.
Yeah, we're getting the rain right now.
It changed from 15 to 25, so I was out. I just stopped at the grocery store. I would have been on time, but I would have been on time, but I stopped when I got in and decided to shovel the snow now, so that at least tomorrow morning it won't be as bad. But it's still coming down really heavily.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I know that this week in Geek can't handle the goddamn Batman.
Did you grow up with a NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world.
Hello and welcome to the all new, all different, rebooted two times in a row Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and looking back through the Nerd News history, the first time that I knew about Nerd News when Mike and Steve and everybody had started it back in 2007, 2008, I remember I was on the 100th episode, the finale, when we stopped doing Nerd News. And then Mike Dodd brought it back, and he got up to 90 episodes, 10 shy of the original run. Joining me here on Nerd News is another news anchor for us is Ryan Not Even Flo Merkley. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey.
You can tell, folks, he's been out in the snow.
Yeah, it's a nice day.
And surprise, surprise, from a hospital room in the wilderness up there in Canada, we've got Mike the Birdman Dodd himself.
That's right. Coming to you from the Orangeville Headwaters Healthcare Center, Birdman has returned, or at least for a couple of episodes while I heal up.
That's right. And if you've never heard of Nerd News before, basically we each talk about two different stories that we found on the internet in the past week, and that's pretty much it. For those of you who have been here before, like Dustin Van Coor and a bunch of other people, you know what to expect at this point. So, where do we want to start with the news? Because we need some fun news. I'm sick of all the depressing news.
Start with me then.
Oh, no!
Well, I was kind of thinking, kind of giving people a personal update, kind of let them know what's
okay,
going on.
Okay, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay, so over the last month, as you guys know, I was admitted to hospital, and as of today, I've been in hospital a month. So I had an infection in my leg, that's cleared up. I had some weight issues, that's starting to clear up. In fact, as of today, I've lost 30 pounds.
Nice.
While I've been, probably more, actually. And what's going on now is I'm going home, probably later on this week. And I'm going to be continuing my physical rehab on my own with assistance from another hospital and various community resources. And I'm not sure. I think the guy who really inspired me is a guy on Twitter. And I think...
At Nightbeat.
Yes, at Nightbeat. I think his name was at Trazadish or something. It's something with a T. So really bad I slide your name. I'm totally sorry.
There's two T's in Nightbeat.
No, there isn't. Oh, yes, there is. Wow.
He said
something
from the first season of Dragon Ball Z, and it really kind of inspired me to get my shit together. He's like, the Saiyans are coming. You have to train harder. You have 1 year. And that kind of kicked me in the ass again. You know what? I'd be very curious to see where I could be in 1 year if I tried. So... with that in mind, I'm going to try this diet called the Whole 30, which you can look up online. I think it's like thewhole30.com or something. It's going to be hard as fuck to do. So I'm going to give that a whirl beginning a couple days after I get home. And, yeah, I'm just curious to see where I'm going to be. Like, my short-term goal is by the summer be walking consistently with my walker. By the end of the summer, be walking without it. And by the end of the year, be able to do distance without my wheelchair or walker, which is completely doable. And the nurses here, the physical staff, have said I've made tremendous leaps and bounds. I'm really strong, and I'm young enough that where I'm in a situation where it's not too late to fix me. So to everybody who donated to the GoFundMe, to everybody who sent a message, a kind word, or even just interacted with me in any capacity over the last month or so, thank you. And I will not waste this opportunity. So with that, we start on some good news. Now let's talk about some actual news.
Ryan?
I have good news. I have great news. I mean, I suspect most people already know about this, but hey, it's fun. Infinity War is coming, and we're finally getting first looks at it. Marvel Entertainment's YouTube feed, which, you know, you can just go on YouTube and type in Marvel Entertainment. Their official feed has preliminary sort of set interviews. They have some, actually, some really exciting concept art from Infinity War, which is finally filming now. It's really neat to me to see and to remember that this is the culmination of 10 years of work, 10 years worth of films, generally a minimum of 2 films per year. This year there will be 3, if you count Spider-Man, which most people are, since Tom Holland is also in Infinity War. In fact, he's one of the people they talked to on the interview about it, and they talked to on set. And I don't know, for me it's just really exciting to see. There's a little bit at the end of the Infinity Gauntlet being, you know, lifted up and put on, so don't know if that's actually from the movie or not, but yeah, they are finally filming it.
Four, isn't it?
No, maybe.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure we've seen that before.
Like, oh, yeah, yes. Thor the Dark World. The movie that I occasionally black out on. I'm not going to lie, I kind of black out both of the Thor movies. Second one was more enjoyable. I'm really looking forward to Ragnarok, though, so...
Yeah, ditto.
Like, Yeah. Sorry, I was just going to say, I think, like, regardless of whether you think the Marvel movies are hits or miss, I think they've been more hit than miss. I think it's exciting to see 10 years worth. This is probably going to be sort of a cinematic spectacle that we may never see again. I mean, what other series is going to do this or try this?
I could see maybe Star Wars from here on out, especially if they continue with their side story stuff.
I think to a certain extent, obviously, yeah, obviously, like with the Rogue One people, a number of them don't make it through the movie, so it'll be a little more difficult, and I really hate bringing this up because it's depressing in what is a positive news story, but some of the original actors, of course, we have already lost Carrie Fisher, there's a potential of more, and... This is something, man, we should do this as a topic or something someday. Personally, I'm not really comfortable with them using CGI actors, at least for the main actors, nor for an entire film.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a cameo, but nothing extended.
No, yeah, I think cameos are okay, but I think extending that because you're taking too much out of the actor's hands. Actually, wow, this plays into... Man, this plays into my second topic really well. Damn it. But anyway, I think you're taking the option of the interpretation of a character or how they would act away from the actor by giving it to a computer, which is essentially going to take that actor and just do, based on pre-existing things, what they would do. There's no element of surprise. I will use a non-my second story example. If you asked a computer to interpret what Heath Ledger would do for the Joker, would it have resembled what we saw in The Dark Knight? Quite possibly no. That was one actor's interpretation of the character and his actions and that version of him. So Yeah, that's why I'm not a huge fan of the hologram things, and this is why I'm not sure we'll see this again. You know, it's pretty obvious that DC's not interested in building up to their events, i.e. the second film was Batman and Superman meeting. I mean...
Yeah, DC...
Lawrence Fishburne, who stars in them, burned them this week, so things are not all well there. They make money, but they haven't been particularly good films. I also think when you have a movie, I think I've said this before, when you have a movie that's titled Batman versus Superman, you probably should be able to, you should be able to make over $1 billion if it consists of that title and it's somebody pooping in a bucket for an hour. I mean,
how instead, you what we got was nothing
worse than that. I mean, how you can squander a title that is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, it's the equivalent of if J.J. Abrams had, you know, whatever you think of The Force Awakens, it's the equivalent of if he had botched that and it hadn't cleared $1 billion. There's absolutely no reason for it with that title.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Star Wars Episode 7, guy standing in a field taking a nap, you should be able to clear $1 billion.
Well, that guy
be able to take a nap.
I was gonna say that guy was standing.
Mark Hamill did that. I mean, that was what happened in the film.
So. Yeah, I mean, he was standing in a field, basically asleep, because he said nothing.
I'm sensing the Force that Han Solo died, and nobody actually talked to poor Chewie afterwards.
Wah, wah. I want to make a bad Lando joke, but that would be in poor taste because Carrie is no longer with us now.
That's okay. Most of the bad jokes in poor taste is usually, that's my thing. So.
Yeah, that's true.
For Infinity War. Happy to see it. And like I said, it feels weird because it doesn't feel all that long ago since I sat down and watched Iron Man or The Incredible Hulk.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing that we should think about. What's the next Marvel event thing? I mean, what storyline do they adapt next? Because the Infinity Gauntlet was a huge thing in the 90s. But we've already done Civil War. We've done a version of Age of Ultron.
I love what they've said is their plan for the next wave is to scale it back severely and just do more character introspective stories. And they've also said that they're going to focus on the villains more. This idea that Marvel makes crap villains is apparently something they're aware of, and it's something they actually wanted. They've talked about it a few times lately and said, like, we know the reason for this is we want to focus on our heroes and not the villains. So it's interesting. Yeah. And yeah, they're looking to change that. But yeah, it's going to be more introspective and more singular characters versus team-up films in the next wave. And then maybe they'll build up to something else. But
I've said this previously. Now that they've proven the R-rated superhero movie works, is there any chance Netflix or maybe even a direct-to-video release, could we ever see Marvel Zombies with the success of The Walking Dead? Because I think that would make significant money, especially if it was just computer animated.
I think the next event clearly should be Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe, starring Jon Bernthal.
Yeah. See, if we could get... Honestly, if you did a Marvel animated movie, you could get all those actors to come back and do their voice roles. And I would honestly love to see a Deadpool off between Nolan North and Ryan Reynolds. Because I think that would be pretty funny. And he'd probably do it, too. Nolan North will show up for, like, a catering truck and $10. So, yeah, that's what I'd like to see out of Marvel next. I can't think of big stories I'd want to see. In terms of character pieces, sadly, I'm such a big Hawkeye mark, but it won't happen because Hawkeye doesn't have any truly great stories. He's got some cool ideas because I read some article, I think it was on bleedingcool.com or something, talking about why hasn't Hawkeye had his own movie or a team-up movie. He doesn't
Matt
have
Fraction's,
very funny moments.
Matt Fraction's run would be good.
Is that where it was just him hanging out with the person and it's like an ordinary day for him?
Yeah.
Essentially, but I mean, quite a few things happen. I mean, it's not just a. There's still quite a bit of stuff that happens in it. I think that would work well. You could introduce Kate Bishop, and if you want to move on from Jeremy Renner, which inevitably they will have to because, you know, people age, you could set that up and have a film with the next Hawkeye, or, you know, you could set her up as part of Young Avengers in that series or something like that. I think that would work, and that works as an introspective one. Plus, I mean, you could get at least 20 to 30 minutes of a film narrated by Pizza Dog, which would be wonderful.
I'd like to see, I'm just going to finish out my thought here. If they wanted to make a really cool villain movie, I'd love to see a movie as told from the perspective of Venom.
That would be really interesting. The only Spider-Man story that I can think of that isn't a classic story that's a little more modern that I would like to see them do, which I don't think they ever will, Superior Spider-Man, when Doc Ock was in Spidey's body.
See, that would be a really good direct-to-DVD release.
Yeah.
I think that would work better as a TV show. That's something that you'd need a lot of hours, I think. I really liked it. I loved even the Marvel team up stuff at the time was great. So with that, I enjoyed that storyline. And since he's come back, it's been but anyway.
Yeah,
we're getting way off topic.
We are.
Somebody else say something.
All right. How about Charleston, South Carolina, having an orange alligator?
Now, what happened? Is this just a rare? Genetic anomaly? Is it a mutant? Or
I think you know what happened. This is the best alligator. He's the best gator ever. He's got the best teeth.
He's trumped.
You know what? That is what the news is calling the gator. Trump gator. According to the article, what happened was the gator was near some sort of rust or something during the winter, like a rusty steel culvert or pipe or whatever, and that's how we got the orange color. But they are calling the thing Trump Gator.
Interesting, because I'm pretty sure he crawled out from some sort of pipe or sewer.
Okay, I did not want to even tie this into the President of the United States at all.
I'm Canadian. I can say whatever the hell I want.
I know. Well, one of the only reasons why I brought this...
I'm surprised we don't hear about this kind of thing more often, considering all the environmental problems that exist within America. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if you see this more, because I think... Correct me if I'm wrong, but hasn't the Trump administration pretty much disbanded the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency?
Yeah. All right, now we're into stuff that I didn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. So.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm saying is, would you see more weird animals like
that? It's a possibility. There are a number of protections for water, particularly in terms of the amount of coal or byproduct of it that can be dumped into the water. Those sort of regulations have been erased.
Well, I guess we're going to see Blinky the Three-Eyed Fish at some point and other weird colored things. Mm-hmm. Interesting times, folks. Tell you that much.
Yep. What do you got, Mike?
Okay, so first story for me is we're going to talk about one of my favorite all-time film franchises. This came out in the early 80s. Sean S. Cunningham's Friday the 13th. Pamela Voorhees, Jason Voorhees, you know, Camp Blood, The Legend of Crystal Lake. So there have been 12 movies in the franchise. The last time we heard from Jason, there was the 2009 reboot, and then there was supposed to be a television series, which is on again, off again, they're casting, they're not casting, something's happening, they're not happening, whatever. But the best shot was supposed to be beginning in March of this year, is there was supposed to be casting and shooting of the new Friday the 13th, which would have been the 13th movie in the franchise, released on October 13th of this year. Well, Paramount said, not Paramount, I forget what film company it was, maybe it was Paramount again, I don't know. Whoever's behind Rings, that company said, fuck you. Because Rings opened at the box office this weekend or last weekend, to, against a $25 million budget, only made about 13.
Wow.
So whoever was in charge of the Friday the 13th movie, the guys at Platinum Dunes said, I don't think this is going to do too good, guys, so we're going to pull it against a budget of, I think, $22 or $23 million. They didn't want to have a box office quote-unquote bomb on yeah. their hands. And it's safe to play it by the math. I mean, realistically. I mean, the 2009 reboot was okay. It made money. And critically, among the fans, it was received okay. But I think this could have been something really, really special, especially because it's had so much time on the back burner to develop. We would have seen a continuation of the Jason storyline, or maybe we would have got, like, kind of like how the 2009 reboot was like a best of, where it looks at Friday the 13th 1, 2, 3, 4 as one continuous event, and having not the undead super Jason, because that's something I would like to have seen with this movie. Would we have had the human Jason or the Uber Jason, as opposed to the one from Friday the 13th Part 10 where he's the spaceman Jason?
They should have probably have taken into account timing as well. Like, is this the best time to release Rings? It is going to make money in the end, because, I mean, it's at around $21 million now, but is February the best time for your horror film? Well, you know, ideally October is the time you want to release, but at that point, there's usually a deluge of them.
I can't remember who told me this or where I read this. I might have even read this in film class. You release movies in January or October, you don't expect to do well.
Yeah, but October, I think, is a different month in terms of at least horror films. Horror's kind of got the... It's a niche market, but in terms of October, it kind of becomes more mainstream, because traditionally, for obvious reasons, they get released then. And, you know, ideally, for anyone who doesn't know this, ideally, when you're taking into account a film making money, you essentially want 3 times the actual investment. So when your budget's, say, $20 million, you want a minimum box office final of $60 million, and that's to cover advertising and the like is generally not included within the budget. And advertising, as well as sort of sponsorship, there we go, as well as sort of out of the theater sponsorship. So you take Batman Superman as an example. It was everywhere. There was toothpaste and deodorant and shit with
Turkish Airlines.
Yeah, sorry, that's specifically what I was thinking of, thanks. That had that on it. There was a ton of money invested in its in sort of getting word of mouth out there. And when the budget is out there, it doesn't take that into account, nor does it take it into account the budget in terms of distribution, which costs a ton of money to get something released the same day into theaters. So that's why you generally want 3 times your original budget, because that'll cover the expenses that aren't listed there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it genuinely surprises me that they wouldn't take a risk on this, just because, like we were just saying, the timing is right, the franchise is right for it, because of the reboot horror movies, it's been the most successful. It's been better than the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. The Halloween remakes got worse over time. They were initially very successful. And Chucky has stuck to direct DVD. They're actually filming Cult of Chucky up in Winnipeg right now. So,
is Scott Steiner taking part in it?
Oh, boy. Don't even know what to say to that.
That was a great angle. That was outstanding.
So it's kind of interesting to see that whoever owns the rights to this franchise would just say, you know what, that's cool, we'll take our money elsewhere. Which, you know, or means we're going to get some shitty kids movie or, like, a Madea movie or something equally as insipid.
Yeah, but having said that, maybe... Having said that, I mean, maybe some extra time with the franchise gestating might be in order. It's not like nobody's ever going to do one again, obviously. We're going to see another film in that franchise. We'll see another Nightmare on Elm Street at some point, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. Maybe the time away will actually help it in the end, or you'll get more people maybe who grew up watching them, who have become filmmakers and worked on other movies, that want to come in and bring fresh new ideas to it.
Well, I'd like to see, because there was a kid very early on in the 80s who said, I'm going to do that. And he eventually grew up to direct and write Friday the 13th Part 9. Think of what you will about that film.
And that child's name was Uwe Boll. Oh, sorry.
So yeah, I mean, maybe you're right, or maybe with the advent of the streaming services picking up content like they have been, maybe a Friday the 13th series could work as a 10-episode event on Netflix or HBO Go or something. So the possibility's definitely there. So
there are specific horror streaming services now. So
yeah, but they are terrible.
Like, yeah, but that might be the next step, right? Is creating their own content and that kind of thing. It's not great now, but Netflix was crap when it started out too. Yeah, it takes time.
Speaking of streaming
services, I can think of. I think it's called Screambox.
Yep.
In the U.S., and there's the one from Full Moon Entertainment, which is just their back catalog of cheesy B horror movies. But you may have a point. When other companies offer their more extensive horror catalogs, there may be possibilities, because there's so many vendors that have access to such great B-movie and horror movie content. There could be some real meat in there, and I think people would pay for it. I certainly would.
Speaking of horror, one thing I noticed a couple of weeks ago was they released the trailer for Nightmares in the Makeup Chair, which is a new documentary about Freddy and putting the, you know, about Robert Englund putting the makeup on to be Freddy. Had you guys seen that?
I haven't seen the trailer, but I know of it. Yeah. And it's hard to think that they're going to top the Never Sleep Again, which is the Elm Street Legacy, which is this, like, six-hour documentary done by, I think it's Tommy Hudson, I think is the guy's name. He's the guy who directed Halloween Part 6, the version that doesn't suck of that movie, because there's like three different cuts. But still, it's hard to think they're going to top that, or Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue, which is another amazing horror documentary. I think it's on Netflix in the U.S. right now. You should really check it out, though, guys, if you get the chance.
All right, Ryan, what you got for your second story?
Speaking of nightmarish horrors, the Warner Brothers saga regarding the long gestating, all of a sudden, Batman starring Ben Affleck continues to sort of have issues. Rumor has it now Matt Reeves has stepped in to direct, and this is post Ben Affleck saying he's not going to. Matt Reeves, probably best known for War for Planet of the Apes and Cloverfield, which are they're solid films, but supposedly supposedly he hasn't committed to it, but it's going to happen. Having said that, by the way, he's an interesting choice. I'd like to see it, because he's very different from David Ayer and Zack Snyder. So
as long as Hack Snyder's not involved, I don't care. I don't care who else is involved. I want the Batman movie to be great. Just Hack Snyder, stay away.
So that I like. The other stuff is the fact that apparently the script that was written by Affleck and Geoff Johns has already been rewritten. And now there's a report out there that Reeves wants somebody else to be Batman, and we may not see Affleck. Which I think is kind of a mistake. A, because, that's the guy who's playing him in the Justice League movie, and presumably signed on for another DC film or something like that. Of my issues with Batman v Superman, he wasn't one of them, and I thought his interplay with Jeremy Irons was actually really good.
Yeah.
Well, here's the question. Is the Batman considered part of the DCU?
Well, you mean, is this movie? Well, it's supposed to be.
Okay.
This was the one that was supposedly is going to give us an answer as to what happened to Robin, which they've referenced in two separate movies so far. So presumably, but who knows at this point. So nobody seems to know what's going on with this. It looks like it's going to fall into development hell, at least for a little bit. And again, you know, say what you want about Affleck. I think he's a good actor. He's certainly capable of very good work. He's capable of not great work as well, but I would have liked to have seen him direct because, again, he's hit and miss, but he's directed some really good films.
Yeah, when he's a director, he's... Yeah, when he's a director, he's amazing when he's a director. The thing with Affleck is I have no problem with him as Batman or as Bruce Wayne. I've said this before on other podcasts. They screwed the pooch when it came to the DC Universe, film universe, because what I felt was when Man of Steel came out, they should have done a sequel directly to that Man of Steel 2, whatever you want to call it. Had nothing to do, like, bring Batman in at the end of that sequel. Have Superman deal with the outcome of the events of the original Man of Steel movie. The sequel, he has to deal with all that crap, and then if he can't deal with it, or if they need somebody to come in, tease Batman at the end of that movie, and then the third one, make it. That's one reason why I absolutely hate Batman versus Superman, is because Batman is just fucking... Well, he's just Batman is just there. Bruce is just there. Ben is amazing as both sides of the Bruce Wayne Batman character, and I loved all of his scenes. But we get what, a 3.5 minute fight between the two of them? And I'm sorry, after seeing that movie, I'm kind of hating Henry Cavill as Superman now. I just don't.
His biggest issue is he lacks the charisma to pull off a role where he's really not given much to do in terms of us liking him. He doesn't have sort of innate charisma. I'll compare it to a guy who does. David Tennant, you want to love him in any role, even when he's playing Purple Man in Jessica Jones. He's playing this horrific, nightmarishly bad person, but there's a part of you that actually wants to cheer the guy just because he's got that innate charisma. And it's nothing against Cavill. I'm not trying to say he's a bad actor. It's just... he's given a role where he's got to play somebody so wooden and stiff, and you just kind of got to have some innate charm.
And like I said, it's not that I, you know, like you just said, it's not that I dislike Cavill as an actor. I don't like him as super. I don't, after seeing BVS,
Cavill
I do.
Doesn't make me feel safe.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like, say, a Tom Welling or even a Brandon Routh. That's the kind of person you want to save you. Those people look like heroes. Henry Cavill looks like a soldier.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that natural human warmth.
No.
And you need that. Superman embodies hope and all these other ideals where we think of humanity in the most positive light. Henry Cavill looks like he should be fighting beside Keanu Reeves and John Wick. He looks like a tough guy. He looks like a bad guy.
Yeah.
That's not Superman to me.
No, not at all. Okay, so my second story for this week. I haven't really liked, outside of certain superhero shows that have been directed, anything this person has done on his own, I haven't really liked anything since Viewaskew. And... you know, say what I will about Kevin Smith. He put out a post on Facebook this week, actually on my birthday, saying why Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2 are not happening. And what is happening is going to be us watching the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Who would pay money to see that? But yeah. So basically, he says in this post that Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2 are not happening. Personally, I'm fine with Clerks 3 not happening because Clerks 2 was a perfect ending. They got to be their own bosses at the stores. So that was fine to me. You don't need to go back to the well of Clerks, you know, to make a third Clerks movie. And Mallrats was so dead 22 years ago. We don't need a sequel to Mall. Does anyone even go to the mall anymore? Seriously.
See, I think that brings up an interesting point is what happens to the mall in the era of online shopping? So he does have something to say, but does Kevin Smith's voice still resonate?
I'm just going to be blunt here and say this. In the last couple of years, he has made two of the worst films I've ever had to see in my entire life.
Which ones?
Yoga Hosers was god-awful and terrible. And Tusk is god-awful and terrible. Actually, Yoga Hosers somehow managed to be worse. So, wow. Yeah. He's, like, there. Oh, boy. Talk about somebody whose films, like... Man, I would rather review Transformers 5 than see the next of the current trilogy he's putting together.
Okay, look. The thing with Kevin Smith is I tried watching spoilers when he had his Hulu show thing. Didn't really care for the format of the show. Wasn't because I didn't care for him, but just didn't care for the format of the show. I watched the first three seasons of Comic Book Men, and I really, really enjoyed it. I tried getting into the after show podcast and everything else and all that. And just after a while, it just seemed to me like the same crap every week. Like, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to be a geek show or a carbon copy of Pawn Stars. And I just have not... I can go back to Smith's original works and watch them and enjoy them and love. I mean, this year is the 20th anniversary of Chasing Amy. You know, so... But apparently this new movie, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot... they have to go back to Hollywood to stop a brand new reboot of their old Blunt Man and Chronic movie that they hated so much. So that's basically what he says here in this post.
See, I think it'd be more interesting for them to take a look at how they've evolved. It'd be interesting if they just called the movie Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, because you look at how your country handles marijuana laws from state to state. I mean, yeah. Jay sells weed. What happens when he's being put out of business by a weed dispensary? Yeah. Or Silent Bob? You live in an era of text messaging. You cannot talk and still say a shit ton with a phone.
Yep.
So, and to even bring in the Mallrats reference, we live in an era of Amazon Prime one day shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. Do you even need to go to the mall anymore? So, Smith has the possibility to say stuff, but is he in touch enough with what's going on to stay relevant? And with what Ryan was saying with Yoga Hosers and Tusk being so terrible, I think he understands his older fan base, but his newer stuff, it's not evolving. He's making movies for himself, and I think that's a problem.
I think that's okay. I mean, he's still... I wouldn't say his films shouldn't exist or anything like that. He's allowed to do what he wants to. He's been around long enough. I think he's earned that, et cetera, et cetera. It's just there's an element of should you go back to the well, you know, something that you did that long ago, that kind of thing, or do you leave it alone?
Like I said, when it comes to Clerks specifically, Clerks 2. They gave those guys a happy ending. I do not need a Clerks 3. I do not need a Clerks 3 just because he wants to teach his daughter how to become a clerk.
See, I'm okay with a cameo. If it's just a 5-minute cameo, I'm okay with that. But I do not need the continuing adventures of Dante and Randall. Leave that story alone.
Yeah, because that story's already been told.
I mean, and even with, like, Jay and Silent Bob, they did not have the closure, quote-unquote, they necessarily needed. Is a third movie needed? No, but if Jay and Silent Bob get rebooted, address some of the issues I had, maybe. Maybe that's the ending. It's like, how do they adapt to being adults in a world that has adapted to them? Because they were very much teenagers in adult bodies, like dealing drugs, hanging out at the mall, basically being a waste and a drain on society. But now that society has adapted to that, where is their place now?
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be an interesting movie, but, oh man, they're making a movie about us, they're rebooting it? Let's stop them. Fuck off, man.
That was the plot of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that movie is 17 years old. Like, that movie came out in, I think, 2000. Or 2001. Either way.
2001, yeah.
It's Smith going back to his old View Askew Universe characters. I don't know. If you gave me a Brody movie, maybe I'd be into it.
The only way I'd be into a Clerks 3 is if it's Dante and Randall still running the stores, and they're the bosses, basically. And then you have whatever other clerk characters you're going to introduce new characters. Like, instead of taking us through more adventures with Dante and Randall, have them be the bosses that basically call you in kind of thing, and then have a whole new set of characters and take us through their adventures. But when it comes to the traditional, original View Askew Universe characters, they all pretty much got their kind of a, you know, ending point.
I could maybe see something with Brody just because of the current wave of superhero movies, but even the era of superhero movies has reached to a point where some of them are being considered legitimate, actually good films and everything. Like, you look at how the landscape has changed in the last 15, 20 years of movie making, like The Dark Knight, etc., etc. These are considered great films as opposed to just movies. Right. So maybe where's Brody's place in this world? But once again, does Smith have the chops to write this? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. So I don't know. Do Kevin or did Jay and Silent Bob get rebooted? I will go see it, but I'm waiting for a cheap day in the theater. I'm not as big a fan of Kevin Smith as I once was, and that comes from a guy who's been involved with him. So it kind of sucks to say that, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but everybody has their run, right? I mean, you know, he's had a good 20-year run, 20-year-plus run. I'm sure he's still going to do other stuff, but it's not going to be, like, when he announced that he was getting to direct the Supergirl episode and they were going to call it Supergirl Lives in you know, reference to his old script of Superman Lives, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then, oh, and also my daughter's going to be in it. And that's fine. Sure, you're going to get your kid a job, of course, you know. But that episode was just a regular episode of Supergirl. That wasn't anything spectacular. It wasn't anything to write home about. It wasn't the best episode of that series. And of course, because you have to hype things up, the way that he was talking about it was like, oh my God, this is going to be the best thing ever. And it really wasn't.
So what happened in that episode? Just curious.
I'd have to look it up. Maybe if we take a break at some point in this, I'll go get the information for you.
No breaks.
Quiet you. You can't remember, that's how boring it was.
Yeah, exactly. She has to go to some distant planet or something to save a bunch of people.
To save some asshole. Okay, yeah. So my final story, and this one I'm just really going to kind of sum up. So it turns out there have been some wonderful behind-the-scenes documentaries such as I Am Spock, The Captains, and even with what the Okudas did for the behind-the-scenes for the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-rays, which came out a couple of years ago. And recently there was an article ran on, I think, IO9 or Kotaku or wherever, about how why we'll never get HD transfers of DS9 and Voyager. Yet we'll get one of Enterprise, as it was shot when HD was becoming a thing.
It was shot in HD, so it was the cheapest to do, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a new documentary called What We Left Behind, which only needed $150,000 to tell what would have happened had DS9 got an 8th season, or what were some of the behind the scenes going on there. So evidently it blew past that goal within a day. And I'm really happy to see fan projects, or not necessarily fan projects, just projects like this succeed to give us behind the scenes of certain movies or television shows. And I'm actually really surprised this wasn't officially funded by Paramount.
I funded it.
Because the demand is there.
Yeah, but Paramount, well, CBS has been, I would, oh, hell with it, I can say it. CBS has been one of the absolute worst in charge of Star Trek. I mean, how they have squandered the franchise and the money-making potential is offensive to me. And yeah, in one of the articles, CBS lamented the fact that the Next Generation HD remake didn't make all that much money. Well, guess why? When you release the fucking seasons for $118, people are not going to pay $118 for one goddamn season of television, you twits. I waited to buy it on Blu-ray. I ended up paying $120.
Sorry.
Jesus.
You shocked Blanchard so much.
Yeah, I know. You got pissed off. Anyway, I ended up paying $120 for the entire series, and that's 7 seasons of the HD remaster, which, by the way, is an amazing box set. I highly recommend it to anybody. But, I mean, for CBS to go, well, we can't release it because Enterprise didn't make that much money, go to hell, because you're the reason it didn't make that much money. I mean, you can't charge that much and then wonder why it doesn't succeed. On a full season of Game of Thrones, which is insanely expensive for HBO to produce, it's still only $50.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
that's...
It's only 10 episodes, though. But even still...
It's terrible. Now, for anyone who owns the box set... you can see how the transfer and how much was involved with it. It's ridiculously involved. It takes a lot of time and money. So I'm not too surprised they're not super eager to do it. But
amazing special features, by the way, as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, simply the addition of some of the scenes that were filmed and not used, like 11 extra minutes to Measure of a Man and stuff like that is worth watching. Not to mention, I mean, the series looks amazing when you touch it up. Deep Space Nine would be perfect for that.
The way DS9 was filmed, they shot it on film, then they transferred it to video, which means it went down to 480i, which at the time was just like, oh, it's going to television, who cares? So it was easier to produce special effects, or so you could just use a video toaster to make your phaser blasts or whatever. And that's why we'll never get a true remaster of that or Voyager, which depresses the ever-living piss out of me.
Non-remastered Voyager makes me feel pretty good, but...
Once again, I'm the Voyager apologist.
If we could somehow take all existing tapes and everything of that and bury it somewhere, that'd be one... Anyway.
Hey. it does make me upset that... We'll never get that, but the fact that they're willing to do a documentary to explore what might have happened, maybe we'll see what would have happened more with the founders and the changelings. Maybe we would have got some additional characters, more character development for Esri, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was Sisko really dead?
I'm not certain. Well, I mean, they were going to bring him back, but I'm not certain. I would say never now, because there's already, you know, fans and a number of people working on this that have pointed out, hey, Paramount CBS, maybe you should consider seeing if people would crowdfund an HD update or at least donate to it in advance and then consider whether or not it's worth it.
Well, even if they did like a print on demand, there's enough Trekkies that... If each set costs, unfortunately, I'm just going to throw a number out here. If each set costs, say, $700, there are people that would pay that.
There's some, yeah. Me, yeah, maybe, but anyway.
Are some of the most hardcore people you can imagine.
Me, probably, in fact, but anyway.
I'm not sure how much. For Voyager, I don't think I'd pay above five.
As dollars? Yeah, that's about how much it's worth.
I hate you. if there were good special features, that's always what sells me on the box sets. And I always thought the Paramount sets for TNG were really well done, but you had to be a fan. They were not a casual buy.
Yeah, and the other question this opens up, too, is a lot of the other sort of niche sci-fi shows from the 90s. And so you've got stuff like Farscape, Babylon 5. There's a number of different shows. Will we ever see any release of them? It's probably unlikely.
Probably not.
Yeah, B5 I don't know, because JMS continues to kind of do well for himself, so I think there's a shot there, maybe. And there's been a lot of stuff from that series that ended up being published and released that maybe Warner Brothers didn't think there was demand for. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's tough. And there's a lot of the really good kind of niche shows, you know. Vince Gilligan has talked about whether or not X-Files could ever be redone, and you talk about somebody that has clout, like post Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan can do whatever he wants. But would it ever
get?
There
was an HD release for the X-Files.
It's never been touched up, though, not in the same way.
True blacks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's been remastered at all, is what I'm getting at. I think there was, and is there an HD? That's a good question, actually. I don't know. My story wasn't on X-Files, so I don't have to look it up.
But yeah,
can you tell? We're so prepared here, folks.
No, well, how am I supposed to know if somebody's going to mention X-Files? But yeah, it was released on Blu-ray, but I don't recall it ever being touched up.
Yeah, it was probably just upscaled to 720p.
Which doesn't always look good.
Yeah,
like
sometimes you lose a lot in the like kind of blues, the blacks and everything.
An extra on the Star Trek Blu-rays, as in the original series, as an extra to Trouble with Tribbles, Trials and Tribulations, which is the Deep Space Nine sequel to Trouble with Tribbles, is on the Blu-ray disc, and it looks like ass because it does not translate well to Blu-ray when you don't sort of transfer or fix up anything.
Oh yeah, because you're dealing with a 480i source file, whereas the originals now are true 1080p with all the colors restored and everything.
Yeah, and so I've got it running on a 4K monitor and a computer set up for it, so.
So yeah, it's
going to
look
phenomenal.
Which I watched my first 4K movie last night. Not the best one in the world. I watched The Lincoln Lawyer. It's weird how those movies look. They look just like they're running a little too fast. But that could be just how my eye processes the information. So, but still, I'm glad to see this documentary get funded. If it's as good as I Am Spock, I think we're in for a real treat. So look for that to be released. I think VOD and on disc at some point in the near future.
Yep. Awesome.
And if you want to fund it, by the way, it's still up, and there's stretch goals for everything as well. So,
what's it at right now?
Currently, it's at 238,000 of the 150 it asked for, and there's still roughly a month left, so it's doing okay. They're close to filling out the next series of stretch goals. So.
There you go. That's awesome. All right, I think that's going to do it for us here on Nerd News this time around. Mike, where can the people find you online?
Okay, well, currently you can find me at, here on This Week in Geek. You can follow my progress of my journey to health on Twitter and Facebook, which both is... Twitter is at Birdman Dodd, Facebook Birdman Dodd. Mike should be putting my YouTube channel in the post below, so you can check out the vlogs I post almost every day. I put 3 minutes what's happened with my recovery, so you can see a fat ass become less of a fat ass. So be sure to check me out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and hopefully I'll be returning very soon to Video Game Sophistry, which you can hear on AM640 CFMJ. Toronto's Talk Radio.
Awesome. What about you, Ryan?
You can find me on Twitter at TFG1.
Yes, and I am at Nightbeat, one of the worst characters in Transformers history.
But he's got a cool name.
I'm just waiting to hear the click for him hanging up on me for saying that.
Oh, please, you're going to have to do a lot worse if you're going to try to hurt my feelings.
Spade is always right. Anyway.
Who?
Wow. All right. Find me at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at This Week in Geek. make sure you do that. Next week, we'll be talking about, who knows, when it comes to the news stories, I will have a couple of special things next week. I'm going to give brief thoughts on a new comic series I'm reading and a brief review of Galactic Empire, which is Star Wars music meets metal.
Oh, I guess as a final update, I will be returning to Twig regularly as of July. These guys are giving me the next 6 months off to get my shit together so I can focus on losing weight and getting healthy. So I'll be back from time to time. Don't worry. I'm also still doing stuff with Terrible Words. I won't be GMing for a few months, but I will be a player. So be sure to follow me over there as well.
So if you hate us, suck it up, Buttercup.
Exactly. You got to put up with these guys for a few months. But thank you to Andrew, Ryan, Blanchard, Steve, everybody who's making Twig run while I go out there and get healthy. So without you guys, I would not exist. So thank you for supporting the show, not just for 10 years, but for being some of the best men and women that I could possibly ask for.
So basically what you're saying is the Saiyans are coming. You've got 6 months. Get your shit together.
Exactly. Coming, start powering up now.
Oh, crap. Don't you miss this, Steve?
Nope, not at all.
Stay tuned to thisweekingeek.net for all the current content that we're going to be producing. And, Steve, why don't you close it out with your famous line?
What famous line? I've had several.
Oh, God, you forgot. Lower your shields.
No, I know. Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
This is Dustin Vancouver from the Nerd Effect Podcast. And you are listening to 10 years of This Week in Geek. And don't forget, stroke the Wookiee.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Let's kind of start off with the asthmophere. The biggest twat, and my night got fucked.
I had a great time.
Fucked! This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad.
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies.
What? It's not my fault.
Because you're being a jerk about it. Anyway.
What?
I'm a nice
so
guy.
So strongly. He'll bitch about it later, like, as you could tell. For the whole internet to hear. What?
I'm not crazy.
I don't fly off the handle. Like, what?
Stop hitting the mic.
No, it's to emphasize my point.
You can make any noise anywhere else. Stop hitting the mic. That fucks it up. Don't do that.
Oh my God, you're such a baby. What?
I just fucking did.
Would you shut up? Seriously.
This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad. What?
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies. Like, well, no shit. You didn't need to fucking tell everybody that.
What?
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes the pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by at replying to at thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.